Oh, it's not like every time we be at the church, you know, there's a large hymnal up here and then there's a smaller one. And I asked Paul, I said, is this a hymnal? And he goes, yeah, that's a hymnal right there. You know, it's, I've never seen anything that big before. And my eyes are okay, I hope, you know, not that bad. But, you know, you learn something new every day. You know, there's always like my mom used to say, you always look for the good in everything, you know, and try to make a light heart of it as it is. And, you know, God wants us to do that when we're getting older. You know, sometimes the body can lie to us and, you know, it's not a good thing for that to happen. And if we go to the doctors, make sure everything's okay, and, you know, we trust our doctors, and we're thankful for the update, and so on and so forth. But as we look at this morning in Psalms 92, Psalms 92 in verses 12 through 15, I'm going to read those verses to you, and of course, we're going to be praying through this that God will speak to us. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Palm trees, you know, bear fruit. They bear dates. They use palm trees there in the Middle East to cover roofs, and they use it to patch up the things there. And so we want to be fruitful. We want to do that. And also we see, and he shall grow like a cedar Lebanon. Lebanon trees can grow up to 120 feet high. And their branches can come out to be about 30 feet long. And actually, that's a symbol of strength. So we want to bear fruit as well as strength. Somebody said to me years ago, well, you know, what does it mean to bear fruit? I said, very simply, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's in you bearing fruit. And that through that's manifested, and through that you do good works as unto the Lord. So it all deals with the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And so as we look here at this introduction into this passage here in verse 13, it says, and those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. So we need to be planted, we need to be rooted in the Word of God. Israel at this time, when this Psalms was written, was, you know, to encourage those. And yet we look at Psalms as we look for wisdom. We learn things from history and times past. We can learn also about ourselves as we look at this. But bearing fruit in our times of getting old. And yet when we're planted, verse 13, with God, it means that, you know, we can also spiritually abound. We can look ahead and plan for tomorrow when we're getting older. Because honestly, I don't have the answer to that question. How do you know when we're getting older? I don't know. You only know that. I only know that, right? You know, doctor can give you all the vitals there and okay, but you know what? The joy of the Lord is our strength, amen. So we need to look ahead and plan for tomorrow. That's number one in our introduction. So, you know, you always look ahead. Look ahead. Don't look at today and look at, you know, oh, this is what I got and this is it. No, plan ahead. Keep on planning. I want to encourage you this morning. Number two, looking your best. Always try to look your best. You know, it helps stimulate you and encourages you. You know, it's like one elderly man said one time, he says, you know, every time I put on a suit, I feel 20 years younger, 30 years younger. I feel good about myself. And I'm not going to mention anything about the ladies here because you just don't do that. Guys don't say anything about ladies. You know, ladies, you know how to make yourself look good. You do it one for your husband. And if you're not married, then you do it as unto the Lord. It's very simple as that. So one, looking ahead and planning for tomorrow. Number two, looking your best. Number three, keep laboring. Stop sending a, and you know, when we don't labor, we don't keep busy, it sends a message to our brain. I knew a friend of mine back in Alaska, and I'll never forget this. His dad worked as a machinist for 40 years. And he didn't know this, but some people in his family had Alzheimer's. And because he stopped working, he said, literally, Alan, he told me this, he was an elder at church, he says, he stopped working, and he says a month later, he had Alzheimer's. He says, because all he did was sit down and watch TV all day long. He said he didn't do a thing. I said, oh my goodness. I said, that's sad. That's a sad story. So now, since Roger, my friend from Alaska, he's getting older, guess what? He's a machinist too, and guess what? He's retired, but he's keeping busy. He's a fisherman too out there, and he's keeping busy all the time. So that just keeps you a little picture right there of what it means to keep laboring. Number four, keep listening to the Lord as an introduction here. We want to be planted there with God. Keep on listening to him. You know, we have great radio stations. We have TV, I guess, if you want to watch that. And you got preachers on there. You got radio you can listen to. Keep yourself active. Okay, keep listening to the Lord. Of course, what's most important is what? The Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, I would be in so much trouble right now if I wasn't listening to God. Okay, number five, keep learning and don't be lazy in an aging brain. In other words, keep learning, don't be lazy. It's so easy to be lazy and think, oh, I've done this, I've done that. A friend of mine used to call it the old rocking chair, the spiritual rocking chair. I used to do this, I used to do that. Yeah. Don't go down that road. Don't. That's the devil setting you up to get you to stop what you're doing. Say, look at all I've done. No, number one, it's all what the Lord did. Number two, oh, my Lord still got me alive to do something. Amen? Amen? So, you know, what we need to do to bear fruit in our old age. And then keep loving. Number six, keep loving promotes good health in us. You know, love people. You know, look forward to being around people. I can't tell you how many times I've been crushed to see people just discouraged and upset and they ridicule themselves. They actually don't give themselves the presence of God, so they just collapse inside. And you know what? Keep loving. Love can never run out as long as you're filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, it's God's love. It's not our love. It's the agape love, self-sacrificing. Okay? So keep that in mind. Keep loving. Keep loving. You can never go wrong when you're loving people. Yeah, bad things might happen, but you can always love. And number seven, another way to bear fruit in our old age is keep laughing. Laugh. Enjoy yourself. You know, doctors tell you that it affects the whole body as well as our nervous system. You ever get around somebody's like that? Or you get around people that are uptight. You get around people that laugh, they're relaxed. They're relaxed. They're fun to be around with, you know. They're exciting to be around with. And so, and last but not least, and this is so important, I've worked with elderly for years. Kimberly has too. Is keep leaving those things from yesterday's cares and problems behind you. Don't drag them along with you. Remember, Jesus says that you can only take this life one day at a time, right? Don't worry about yesterday. Be thankful that you're alive. Look at all the good things in life and keep pressing on what the Lord has for us. So this morning we're going to be looking at, and we just stopped here in verse 13, verse 14 in Psalms chapter 92. It says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants to allow us to flourish here this morning. We're going to look here at God's use of older people in the Bible, and then we're going to be looking at God's use for older people in the church today. How can we be used? You know, most of us are older today. We've been there, done that for the most part. Experience is a wonderful thing. Knowledge is a wonderful thing. And if we can put those two together, we can be very wise people. Amen. Very wise people. We're looking at Moses and Aaron. Remember them? Between the ages of 80 and 83, remember? They started out, and Moses, he was pretty much 40 years of age when he was kicked out of Egypt. And then when he started leading the people through the wilderness, he was about 80 years of age. And fortunately, he had a friend of his called Caleb that helped out too. They're very aged people. But don't forget about this. It was the Lord that gave them the strength. It was the Lord that gave them the strength. I had to repeat that because people say to themselves, I can't do it anymore. I'm too old. Don't worry about that. God's got that too. He knows everything about you. He loves you. Joshua and Caleb. Remember when Moses gave over the torch, so to speak, to Joshua and Caleb? And they were up to about 110 years of age before they expired. And yet God still used them. We look at Daniel. Daniel served the Lord for 70 years. 70 years he went on. What I'm trying to encourage you with here today, there are people that went on before us that and God understands exactly what we're going through. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Remember, those are the parents of John the Baptist. And they were well in their years. Then there were Simon and Anna. And they were the two that would be fasting, and their prayers would be going on night and day. They were the ones that bore the witness to the Christ child. And of course, then we have Sarah, Abraham's wife. What, she 90 years of age? Oh my goodness! And you've heard of these people before. You know, we know. We're like, how did they do it? It was the Lord. Simple as that. If we could understand one thing, how can I bear fruit in old age? It was the Lord. Very simple. Lay down your head on the pillow tonight and say, it was the Lord that did it for me today again. I don't know how I did it. You know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Amen. Then Paul also said that in Philemon 9, that he was getting old and aged as well. So you have, these are just some examples right here. But what can we do? And there was somebody who asked, and if there's any questions that you have about the Bible you want me to preach on, let me know. Okay, because I want to feed you from the Word of God. I want to help you. That's why I'm here. And then we see here God's use of older people in the church today. You know, verse 15. And we see it says here, and to show that the Lord is upright and he is my rock. So number one, we see here in verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is righteous. Number two, that he is my rock. He's my foundation. And there is no unrighteousness in him. He's holy. So if he can hold us upright, if he's our foundation, if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have God dwelling in us today. Did we know that? Yes, we do. A lot of times we get ourselves in the way. Wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning after having a bad night or a bad day. And you're like, oh, I can't sense God anywhere. Go to his word. Go to his word and pray. Pray and go to his word. You know, if God doesn't answer you right away, he will. I guarantee you. Okay? So, how does God use older people in the church today? Well, let's look over to Titus. In Titus chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. And we're going to look at here at the qualifications for preachers and elders and all, and even deacons later on. But just verses 5 through 9, because there's other things I need to say here this morning. But, you know, God can use people that are older as elders. You have in the Bible, you have those elders that were old in age that people gravitate to. And then you have the elders in the church that were leaders that helped lead the church as Christ is the head of the church, as they have direction from the head of the church. For this cause, in verse 5-9, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting to ordain elders in every city, and to appoint thee, if there has been any blameless of a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For the bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given over to wine, not a striker, not given to filthy lucre. And some of you may have different translations, so you understand what this means here. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Okay? So you have people that are getting older who may fit these qualifications, but unfortunately you have people who today who retire from everything, retire from church, they retire from what they're supposed to do if God has called them into an office of the church, or just, you know, do something at church. Very thankful for the people who are busy in the church, and the people who can't be doing physical things, they're praying. We need a lot of prayer warriors. We need that. And so what has saddened me over the years, I haven't seen the younger people come up and want to take over our work. Thank God we have some younger people here that are still doing the work of the ministry. And so, you know, God uses people in the church today. God can use us. And then also we see that for men. And then we see with women, Titus, stay in Titus now, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Titus 3 through 5 says, in the age women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so looking at it, you know, we have a ladies' Bible study going on. I'm very thankful for that. Eventually, Lord willing, we'll have a men's Bible study going again. Eventually, Lord willing, we can get Wednesday night started up again and have, prayer time and Bible study. But besides that, that's down the road. But what God wants us to do is to get involved in the church today. I had a man tell me years ago, he says, you know, I can't do anything except sit in this wheelchair. I've got heart problems, and, you know, every time I eat, my falsies fall out. And he was just having a hard time. I felt sorry for him. And I said, you know, really? I said, you can pray. I said, you're just an encouragement coming here today because you care. You know, I told my wife today, coming out of the apartment complex, and we got people watching this all the time, seeing what we're going to do. Oh, who are these people? You know, and I said, you know, it's so sad because people look at what's on the outside. I said, it was what's on the inside. We want to start a Bible study there at the apartment complex. We want to start from Jerusalem to Judea, like it says in Acts 1:8. We want to start getting a Bible study started. And then we want to start bringing people to church. You know, people, first of all, when it comes to evangelism, this is a side note. You need to start at home. You need to start the outreach to your neighbors. You need to start there. You know, how do you want a church to grow? It needs to start at home. I tell people that all the time. Because you don't want to go to a place where people don't know you. I mean, if God's called you to do that, do a cold call, that's, you know. And they, you know, there was a couple that were interested in coming out to church, looking for a church. So, you know, I met them the other day. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, going back to the church today, how can God use us? How can we be fruitful today? There's a little story, I want to say this too. That, you know, remember Borden's ice cream and milk and all that? That came out years ago. And one of the founding people from that, when he retired, who was a Borden member, he went out to China. He was only there for a couple years, but then he passed away, and people thought, ridiculed him, says, why would you do that in your older age? It's a waste. Look what you've done. All the criticism. You know how the devil works. He's no friend. And praise God, there was a note that was by his bed. He goes, I have no regrets, no reserve, no retreat. I have found more happiness in a few years in the sacrificial service than most people find in a lifetime. Because he stepped out of the world. You know, he was a Christian man, but he stepped out. God called him. If God hasn't called you, don't do it. You know, some people get excited and like, I can't wait to serve the Lord. Get on their horse, and before you know it, the first bump hits and they fall off. Make sure God has called you in his service. So, what are some of the ways that God can work in us as elderly? And we see there are some examples. By hospitality and benevolence, many elderly are financially secure and able to do what many younger families cannot to do. I'm not saying they're, you know, you're older, you're rich, because, you know, my dad told me years ago when he was retired, he says, Alan, there's two types of older people. One that have the money, and two that don't, and they have to make a choice between whether they're going to eat or take their medicine every day. And I'm like, yeah, gotcha, I'll never forget that, Dad. You know, he passed away years ago, he was 89, but I thought that was food for thought. And then also there's another way is edification and evangelism. If you have time on your hands, why not use that time to study with others? The one thing I'm going to say this, I'm not accusing anybody here, and I have to watch myself too, is people get a lot of time, they gossip, they start talking. I call it like this. When after a while, they, you know, it's not good. No, I've learned a long time ago, if I start talking about others, I should keep my mouth shut. I should never be talking about other people, period. Don't do it. Red flag. Talk about myself, yeah, and edify others, but be careful when you get around people or talking about other people. Just, you know. So we need to edify, build each other up. What can we do to bear fruit? We want to build each other up. We want to be praying. We want to start Bible studies. We want to, and maybe prayer and fasting. Fasting. That means make sure you check with your doctor first. I'm not trying to tell you anything you're not supposed to do. But take that time to be holy. Take that time to be sanctified, to be set apart. Take that time to be alone with God and say, Lord, this is my body is a sacrifice. And don't tell anybody. You know, especially when you're praying. Like Jesus says, go in your closet. In other words, if you're a verbal person, go alone where nobody's around and pray. Talk to them. It's okay to talk to yourself and God sometimes. You're not crazy. Some people, I do that sometimes too. Like when life doesn't make any sense. God understands, and so we need to fast. And we need to get alone with God, and we need to do that. So that's also important. We need time. So remember, the women and the men can work that all out. And so, you know, I looked at what we can do also is that we can share with people our experience. How can we bear fruit? You know, we can encourage one another today. And I'm closing with a few thoughts here because I want you to think about this. You know, it has been said there is not a man or woman alive who could not retire comfortably in their old age if they could sell their experience for what it cost them. You know, you have so much experience, so much knowledge. You have been through so much. God has blessed you. You're a gold mine. And just think of what you could share with other people. And I understand we all have our reserves. Oh, you know, I'm not going to share with this, that. But being reasonable with people, you can share that experience and be a blessing. So we need to keep that in mind. I like what Philippians 3, 12 through 15, and in closing here, it says, and looking at our attitude, remember, if we want to bear fruit, we need to look at our attitude. In conclusion, Philippians 3, 12 through 15 says, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on. And that has the idea of a runner running, and he's pressing on. He's pushing on. He's giving it everything he's got. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has already laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Keep looking ahead. Like I said in the beginning of the service, is one way of planning is doing this, is plan ahead. Don't give up. Don't sit back. Move on. Keep pressing on. And I press toward the goal for the prize and the upper call of Christ Jesus. That's our salvation. That's our prize. We were saved. Can you think about that when you were saved? You accepted Christ in your heart where you know you are a child of God. And then can you look back in your life here? Just think about it for a minute. All the things that you've done, you know, where God has led you. So, yeah, I've got, you know, married children, grandchildren. Some of us here are great-grandchildren. I don't know. But it's like we're looking forward to this. And therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this in mind, that if anything in you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. So, okay, my point is this. Listen to me. What do I need to do today, Pastor? What do I need to do? That's what you need to ask yourself. I'm getting older. I want to bear fruit. Remember the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Bear, that's the fruit it's talking about there. And from there, your works will show. And if you're saved, some of you have been doing this for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Now, remember, my pastor, he told me a long time ago, right after I got saved and I got excited and I sensed that God was calling me into ministry and he knew it too. I said, when are you going to retire? He laughed. He goes, oh, I'll never retire. You know how he went home to be with the Lord? One day, he stubbed his toe, and he didn't even think about it. And that toe got infected, and it went all the way up, and it killed him one day. But the man, I had to laugh. Last time I saw him, we had the biggest smiles on our face because, you know what, he never gave up. He was always in it. You know, he kept going on. And I remember Arnold Palmer said this. Remember the great golfer? Guy who played golf. You probably remember him. He says, the most rewarding things you do in life are often the ones that look like they cannot be done. So when you're getting older, remember this. It can be done. We can press on. I want to encourage you with that. You know, don't... One last thing is, before I close, watch out for that spiritual rocking chair. Watch out. Don't look back in the past. Keep pressing on to the future. Yes, God has blessed. Remember, that was all the Lord's work. And if I want to bear fruit, remember what it says in the Bible? Look at our patriarchs. Look what happened in the Old Testament, New Testament. They pressed on. Was it hard for them? Yes, it was. And then number two, look in the Bible. Both women and men can serve the Lord. We're never too old. You can pray. You can start a Bible study. You can call somebody, encourage them. You can be there for them. Be there for them. God wants us to encourage one another in these last days at these times. And so, you know, also to watch out for this. This is one more other side note that I had here. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. That's the devil's lie. Don't do it. Remember, God has made you a certain way and will bless you and take care of you. And concluding with this, Jesus Christ looks at us in love. And he died for our sins. And he looks at us even in our old age or even our young age. With him, age, there is no age with God. There is no beginning or ending. So for those that are saved, you're going to look to God as, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. That means you missed God's mark. And only Jesus Christ has hit that mark. That means he's holy, he's righteous. He was the substitute for our sins. And I often cringe, and I'm just so thankful, much of a sinner than I am, that God would actually die for me. I still can't get over it. And yet, you know, he loves me, and he loves you too. If you don't know Jesus, he loves you more than you could ever love yourself. And he understands your problems, and he understands the disappointments and the hurt and the anguish. And, you know, but God can take you and he can save you from your sins. That means all the wrong things you've done. And yet, the biggest problem I think people have today is pride. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to talk about it. They'll talk about anything else but Jesus and his love for them because of their pride. Unfortunately, it's true. But yet God in his love can save that person. If you know somebody who isn't saved, pray with me as I'm closing in prayer. Pray that these people get saved. Because we all have a time when we go home and be with the Lord. But yet, in the meantime, while we're here, as I finish, we want to bear fruit. We want to bear fruit, you know? And there's the right way to do it and the wrong way of doing it. You know, so let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Psalms 92, 12 through 15. We thank you that we can laugh. We can keep on loving. We can look our best. We can look ahead and plan for tomorrow. We can keep on laboring. We can keep on listening to you. Lord, we just ask you, God, that as we're planted by your Spirit, Lord, that we'll continue to grow in your grace and knowledge. And Lord, help us to learn from those that went before us, and help us to learn from those within the church as we get older. And thank you, God, that you're merciful and your goodness endures forever. And I pray that if somebody here is not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, hey, any way that you want to express it, you can come forward here this morning, or you can just sit there and pray and ask Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sins. Or you may know somebody who isn't saved, who hasn't asked Christ into their heart to forgive them and realize that Jesus is Lord and has risen from the dead, a resurrection, Lord. And yet, I thank you, Lord, for those that are saved here today. Lord, help us to be fruitful bearers as we get older, to be good examples. God, to be a blessing to be around others. And Jesus' name, we thank you for this. Amen.